This is Vatican Radio. I'm Tracy McClure. Children and young people are among the biggest victims of Syria's five-year-old conflict. According to the UN Children's Fund, UNICEF, 2.4 million refugees from the war are children. Thousands of youngsters have been killed, and many have been recruited as fighters, some as young as the age of 7. UNICEF reports that 2.8 million Syrian children within Syria and its neighboring countries do not attend school, leading some to describe them as Syria's lost generation. I recently spoke to Country Director for Syria for Jesuit Refugee Service, Father Nawras Samour. He told me JRS has quietly been trying to change the odds against Syria's future generations through its educational programs, some of which continue in Syria despite the five-year-old conflict.
If you told me from the very beginning that it's going to last 5 years, I would say I quit. I wouldn't be able to stay. But it happens. Thank God, a lot of friends, a lot of friendship, a lot of support, a lot of goodwill, a lot of collaborators, Muslims and Christians, a lot of faith, I would say, you know.
So you mentioned you're living now in Damascus, but you're from Aleppo. Aleppo has been under siege, under fire for quite a long time now. We're seeing thousands of people leaving the country. Many are amassed on the border with Turkey.
It's not enough for when we talk about 9 million people in Safar, 4.8 million already out of Syria. The only solution, I would say, it's to put an end to this war. That's the solution. And it's not going to happen by another war. The only way of finishing the war, it's diplomacy. It's to go around the same table and to dialogue and to negotiate. I mean, a logic of war, it's not going to lead anywhere at all. It's going to lead to the end of the country, the end of Syria. And it could happen, because if we are stubborn to this point, of not having that possibility or that will of being together, for accepting the presence of the other and the difference of him, I would say, it's going to be the end of Syria.
JRS has a very important campaign going on this year, the Year of Mercy, called Mercy in Motion. Tell us about how that works, and specifically, how is it working to help the displaced and the refugees in Syria?
Our understanding of the humanitarian work in such a crisis, it's to build the future. I mean, building future is about education mainly. So that's the reason of this campaign. It's to go to envisage, if you like, the future by preparing people of today. And it's about education, it's about having people able to bear values of humanity values, you know. Education is not only curriculum, it's about values, it's about giving this possibility to people to accept the difference. We are today, all over the world, in the countries of multicultural countries. And if we're not able to recognize the difference, would end up by war, like in Syria today.
Yeah. In fact, I spoke just recently with the former international director, Father Peter Balice, mm-hmm. of JRS. He had an interesting way of calling it. He said, there are ozone holes in the knowledge sphere, meaning there is a lack of education in the world today, and specifically demographically in the areas where you see red on the map with the people with the lowest income, lowest amount of education. These are the places where we're seeing conflicts today.
Exactly.
And in Syria, what are you able to do? I know that JRS tried to start a school in Aleppo some time ago, but then at the beginning of the war, and it was bombed. Now you have a program in Amman, Jordan, a school with higher education. What are you able to do on the ground now in Syria?
In Syria, we have in Damascus 3 centers with 800 kids, you know, male and female. We have in Homs, the city, 3 centers with something like 1,200 kids. And around Homs, in the so-called the Christian Valley, we have another center as well with 350 kids. And we are planning to have another one, hopefully, in Aleppo in the future. because we do believe that building the future is from today, and it's about education for sure. And when we welcome people, it's not only Christian, it's majority of them are Muslims in Damascus, half and half in homes, Christian and Muslims, and they are able to live together. So what's about adults, you know? So if they are able to live together today and to build up projects and to dream about the future together, why not to live together in the future? So that's our way, if you like, of having maybe a new Syria, inclusive Syria for everybody, because Syria, it's not going to be the Syria of 2011 before February 2011, never back in the history. But it's going to be Syria of today and of tomorrow. And today of tomorrow, it's in our hands for this extent, but it's in the international community hands as well for doing something in diplomacy for ending the war.
Let me ask you this last question then. My daughter, she's involved in the Model UN program for high school students. Mm-hmm. And she chose of her own volition the topic of how to end the war in Syria, which sounds like a huge topic to be able to, for a 16-year-old to solve, much less the international community. What kind of suggestions would you give her about how can this conflict come to an end?
Maybe today it's too difficult to think about something irrealistic, I would say. The realistic thing today, we need the will of the international community, the most powerful player of the international community, to solve that problem. So we need, from one side, the United States of America with the whole group behind or with, and on the other side, we need Russia and the whole group behind and with. And the regional players who are divided between both. So if there's that will, they would be able to convince, sometimes maybe they need to put a pressure on their own partner to sit together. I'm convinced the solution for Syria today, it's going to come from elsewhere, not from Syrians, from within Syria. It's going to come from the international community and with the biggest player.
But the sides seem so distant right now.
That's true. But, you know, nobody inside is able to live or to survive alone. Everybody inside, they need the support of the international community and of their biggest player.
You know, it reminds me what we're seeing in Syria, a little bit about Lebanon, the 16-17 year war in Lebanon and the Taif Accords that we saw come out of Syria.
Exactly. At that time, there was that international will expressed through the biggest regional players, Syria and Saudi Arabia at the time, and it finished. It's not finished in the heart of people, maybe. I mean, we still have that.
In fact, that's one thing in Lebanon which I've never seen and I would like to see, is something like a Truth and Reconciliation Commission,
for example,
we saw in South Africa.
For example. Mm. And we need to make some historic analysis and to recognize me, Nawra Samoud, I'm responsible in somehow of this dramatic situation. Mm. I have my part of responsibility, my share of responsibility.
Each one of us.
Mm. Each one of us.
There's so many issues to talk about here, even the way the history books are written in the schools. Anyway, I hope to see you back here on Vatican Radio next time you are in Rome, or perhaps next time I'm over there in the region. Love to talk to you more.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Father Nawras Samoud is the country director for Syria for the Jesuit Refugee Service.